The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod.
August 21st.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. In 1965, Gemini 5 lifted off from Cape Canaveral, with Mercury veteran Gordon Cooper and rookie astronaut Pete Conrad aboard.
2400, the program is complete. This program has been initiated.
A perfect departure for 8 days in the space.
42 seconds.
Gemini 5 was the first spacewalk powered by fuel cells, and it remained in Earth orbit for a week, proving that a crew could survive in space for the minimum amount of time required to make a brief visit to the moon. In 1972, NASA launched OAO-3, the third Orbital Astronomical Observatory satellite. A forerunner of the Hubble Space Telescope, OAO-3, nicknamed Copernicus, lasted for 9 years in orbit, conducting observations in the visible spectrum and experiments in X-ray astronomy. The design of OAO-3 directly influenced the Hubble Space Telescope.
Equipped with sensitive precision instruments, including a 32-inch diameter telescope, this heaviest of our unmanned spacecraft is studying stars and galaxies to gain a better understanding of how they evolve and eventually die. Now in orbit above the Earth's distorting atmosphere, Copernicus has a clear view of the stars and is returning important new information to astronomers every day.
In 1993, 3 days before it was due to arrive at Mars and go into orbit, NASA's Mars Observer spacecraft suddenly went silent, and ground controllers were never able to re-establish contact. Animation pioneer Fritz Freleng was born today in 1905. Composer Basil Poledouris was born in 1945. He did the music for Conan the Barbarian, the original RoboCop, Iron Eagle, Starship Troopers, the original Red Dawn, and The Hunt for Red October. Now here's something you may not know about him. Before he began his film music career, Basil took a swing at being an actor as well, and you can see him as a non-speaking red shirt in the Star Trek episode, Obsession.
Take your men. Make a swing around our perimeter. Scan for dichoronium in the atmosphere. Set your phasers on Disruptor B. If you see any gaseous cloud, fire immediately. You're on red alert.
Joe Strummer of The Clash was born in 1952. Actress Kim Cattrall was born in 1956.
30 seconds for port gates.
Clear all moorings.
Waiting port gates from this mark.
All right, clear.
Half thrusters.
Thank you, Lieutenant. 1/4 impulse power.
Captain, may I remind you that regulations specify thrusters only while in space dock?
Jim.
You heard the order, Lieutenant.
Aye, sir.
Carrie Ann Moss, who played Trinity in the Matrix trilogy, was born today in 1967. Google co-founder Sergey Brin was born in 1973. Astronomer Subramanian Chandrasekhar died on this day in 1995. In 1983, he was one of the recipients of the Nobel Prize for Physics for his work in theorizing the lifespan of stars. The equation for determining the maximum possible mass of a stable white dwarf star is called the Chandrasekhar limit. Bob Moog, the inventor of the Moog synthesizer, died today in 2005. And on this day in 1972, at an independent Philadelphia TV station,
WPHL-TV, Channel 17, Philadelphia.
Doctor Who made its American debut. Throughout the 1970s and 80s, the BBC syndicated programming into the American market through Time Life Television and first offered episodes from the Jon Pertwee era in 1972. Philly TV station WPHL was the first station in the United States to air an episode of Doctor Who. Indie stations had already benefited from the Star Trek syndication package since the beginning of the 70s, and this unusual British import may have seemed like the next big thing. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, expanded memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing Escape Pod Landing Procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and produced by Earl Cain.
Hello. Good day. Happy to see you. I, Crow T. Robot, have penned a little ditty in honor of the star of today's experiment, Kim Cattrall. It's called Oh, Kim Cattrall by Crow T. Robot, sung by Crow T. Robot. It's marked Allegro con Brio, Kershaw Listing 643.